welcome everyone that's tuning in now or that's listening in later to this week's Citizens Climate University, a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is going to dive into planning a joint CCL meeting with your member of Congress. So we're going to join CCL leaders for a training that will discuss the details of how to best prepare for and plan a joint virtual CCL meeting. The speakers tonight are Alexa Foster, California State Liaison Coordinator, as well as a liaison for California's 45th District, Larry Kramer, next door, co-liaison for California 49th District and co-lead of California CCL Orange County South. Terry Quain is also going to be on, sharing her experience with being the liaison for Illinois' 11th Congressional District, as well as being the group leader for Illinois chapter Greater Naperville area. And to get us there, we've got three learning goals. This training is going to walk you through the step-by-step suggestions, how to plan really a large joint CCL meeting. It could be a chapter meeting that's upcoming. It could be another event that you're bringing people together for. But really using that occasion then to leverage also inviting your member to show up. And then really the goal or the demonstration of this is really to highlight your chapter's grassroots strength and the power of your CCL chapter and really being able to flex that grassroots lobbying effort, you name it, to really show how many people that you can bring to the table, whether it's five, whether it's 50, whether it's 500, to really show up and be there and demonstrate the importance of this issue for your member of Congress taking further action on climate change and enacting solutions. So we'll walk through really how to take steps to plan your meeting. We're going to hear interspersed throughout some examples of chapters that have already done this and what they've learned and suggestions that they have along the way. We're going to think through what this looks like then in the actual meeting itself, how you can best execute that. And then we'll follow up and talk about really how to leverage outside of that meeting the next steps. But for a little bit of background, so members of Congress are always looking for ways, as we know, to connect with constituents. And especially during this time of social distancing, I think that this is a really wonderful recipe to help make that possible. Zoom is making it much easier, or any online video conferencing platform, to gather a large group of volunteers together in a safe space in a meeting online. And really thinking through this, the goal of your event is going to be showing your incumbent member of Congress the strength of your CCL chapter, as well as our larger network, and to really encourage them to talk about bipartisanship in their climate solutions and considering especially who you can reach out to even invite with that meeting to bring your member of Congress with. One thing that I did want to tell a quick story of, another liaison that we don't have an interview for tonight, liaison Carol Kravitz wrote about the CCL Pasadena Foothills chapter with Representative Schiff. We all know that Congressman Schiff is a supporter of the Energy Innovation Act, but they were having a hard time kind of finding other ways to collaborate once that wonderful sponsorship already showed up. So Carol contacted two local elected officials, a mayor, the mayor of West Hollywood, and a councilman who also happened to be a CCL volunteer, and invited them to speak to their CCL next meeting, and then connected those dots to tell then the Office of Representative Schiff that the electeds were going to be there talking about what was happening in their cities and how COVID-19 was affecting them. They did a great job, and they also used that leverage to then make sure that the congressman showed up. He happened to pop in, according to Carol, just about when the mayor was starting her presentation, was able to really exchange connections and was really brought in not only because of a CCL local group meeting that was happening, but because obviously it was a chance for him to interact with two local elected officials as well. So just another wonderful story on how these meetings can be leveraged to build that relationship with your member or even their staff and their actual kind of aides if it isn't possible with the member themselves. So let's jump into a quick little eight-step recommendation of how to plan your meeting, and then we'll hear from our first featured interview tonight, Larry Kramer with California Orange County South's chapter. But the biggest thing you want to first start with is, especially if your chapter shares a congressional district with other CCL chapters, you want to invite them as well as the liaison that really is overseeing that whole relationship with the district into the planning process at the beginning. You want to then really figure out who's going to be point in identifying that meeting as the CCL side of the contact to really make sure that the meeting planner is the only one in touch with the scheduler, that we're not kind of coordinating across three or four chapters with three or four different points of contact. We'll get into this again a little bit more after the first video, but then we have some suggestions on topics that you might want to pick from. It's really important that your topic can also serve as a hook to engage or entice your member to show up. You want to think through, obviously, their agenda, how you're going to engage them. Are they going to have an open floor? Is there going to be a town hall style element? Are they going to show up in the middle of your meeting? Are they going to be the feature at the beginning? You name it. All of those logistic details are important to wade through. And also, obviously, picking a date so that everyone can be on the same page with. Once you've got that, the invitation can be sent out. And then, especially if you are going to have it be more interactive, the importance of collecting everyone's questions ahead of time, especially since this is an opportunity for those that can't make a lobby meeting themselves to still connect with their member, to feel democracy at work, like their voice is being engaged with. We do really recommend finding a way to collect questions from your chapter and find a way to also have a selection process to pre-screen or know at least the first five or six that you'll use in the meeting. We definitely recommend a dress rehearsal to practice, like we do with our communication activities or any other area that we take seriously ahead of time with the assigned roles. We'll get into that step a little bit more in a bit. And then in that communication, you want to also make sure pretty early on to confirm whether you can record that meeting to share with those that couldn't make it live. And, you know, granted, if that's not a level of security they're comfortable with, whether you can take a photo that later on you can post on social media. And that confirmation of a photo is going to be important to get not only from the member or that office, but also your other chapter volunteers. And so one efficient way of really being able to highlight consent is just to say on the call ahead of time or right at the very end, if anyone is not comfortable with being featured in a social media post, please reach out to me afterwards, because then the onus is on them. You've engaged everyone in that question and you don't have to do a big up and down vote. So with that, though, let's jump in and actually hear our first interview tonight. And this one comes from Orange County South. And each of these is just a little 5-minute snippet that I put together based on a longer form interview. But they just give a helpful window into how different groups have already really leveraged these joint CCL meetings to build relationships with their members of Congress. And this first one is going to be with the wonderful Larry Kramer.
I'm Larry Kramer. I'm a coal group leader of the California Orange County South chapter. I'm also a co-liaison. I got the idea of, in fact, doing an interview or having our member of Congress come to one of my local meetings, actually from the Orange County South chapter. The way I set up the meeting is I actually went to one of the local persons who works on its political side. She immediately notified the people back in Washington. And within a few days, they came back and said, yes, we'll agree to the meeting. And that was going to be one of our regular meetings. I chose that time because we had our national call at 10 o'clock, and I invited all my people to, in fact, be on that national call and then be ready to have a conversation with Congressman at 11 o'clock. So actually the setup went real quickly. They just came back and said, yes, we'll do it. They asked me a few questions. They wanted to know what the agenda was. So I gave them a short agenda, and the agenda was basically for the Congressman to talk a little bit for maybe 20 minutes. And then for us a chance to ask some questions and so forth. They came back and wanted to know who the people were going to be on the call. I gave them a list of people that I knew would probably be on the call. And that was all they asked for. I asked later if it was okay to record the meeting, and they said, basically, why not? So I planned on recording the meeting. And then I called up the people who are most active in my chapter, probably about 50 of them, and told them about the meeting. I also sent out an email announcing it to the entire chapter. I then also contacted our co-liaisons, and they were interested in participating. Was it okay for them to have their chapter people also participating? And I said yes. I also belong to a Rotary Club in Solana Beach, and one of the members there, when I announced it, said he wanted to also participate. So we had quite a few people who notified about, in addition to the people I work with, Elizabeth Fenner and Tasha Reddy, they also were interested in the meeting. So we set up the meeting. I used the Southern California Zoom line, and I set it up to be before 11 o'clock to actually do it at 10:45 and ask our people to come online about 10:45 so we could lay down some ground rules and everybody could get comfortable with the Zoom. Prior to that, I took a few people and we did a practice run a few days before that, which was extremely helpful. Assigned who would ask what questions so that we weren't going to have a dull space when he started to talk, after he was done. And I wanted to have some people ask questions, make sure that there was some questions ready to go. I also set up to use my daughter, who's an attorney and has used Zoom a lot, to in fact run the meeting for me, so I wasn't going to be bogged down with the details of it. And that worked out quite well. As soon as the congressman came on, I asked him how long he had, and he said 45 minutes, which surprised me a little bit. That's great. We then set up a waiting room so people could not join the call after that unless they were approved by me. Congressman talked for about 20 minutes, gave background on what was going on in Washington. And then we started asking him some basic questions. One of the fun ones was, just what it's like now that it's different. He had not expected, of course, to be home so much. And after that, we started to ask the questions, and the questions came forth very easily. There were some questions that we prepared, and then other people came into the chat and put questions there. And so we sort of interspersed between the ones we had prepared and the ones that people wanted to ask. And we finished up about 11:45. Had just about the right amount of time. Congressman was very cordial and asked him in particular, how are we doing? What can we do for him? And we also, told him that we understood that his basic goals right now and what he was achieving, climate change was not quite at the top of it. And how did he feel about what we were doing? And he said we should keep pushing along, that he appreciated us and he appreciated being able to talk about climate change, something that he feels very passionately about. I think it was probably easier to get him to come on a Zoom call than would have ever been for him to come in person to one of our meetings. So I think right now, while we're doing all this Zooming and the congressmen are not necessarily back in Washington, this is a great opportunity to come to have your congressman, in fact, come and talk to you. I thought the meeting went very well. It was good from our standpoint. It probably gave me the largest number of people I've had on one of my local Zoom calls, which is very nice. All the feedback is very enjoyable. It was also nice to work with the North San Diego County people, bring them in. We got to know a few of them.
Perfect. That was exactly the window in that we wanted to hear, that this actually does work out from people that have been there before. So I think one of the other things that really stood out for me when I was talking to Larry was just not only how energizing this was and how many people really turned out that hadn't shown up for other meetings before to really kind of boost that morale, but also just what a wonderful window in to the member of Congress's life outside of what you might get if you're kind of in more of a pitched lobbying meeting focused specifically on our primary or supporting asks. So we're going to hear from two other stories, and feel free to start lining up any of the questions you have in the chat here. But one of the other things that Larry mentioned in his run-through of that checklist he did to get prepared with his chapter was really think strategically through how to prepare for security and really make sure that the video conference setup that you're using is going to be most secure for your member. And so this is all recommendations that we have on another training page that's called Practicing Video Conference Security. I'll just give a brief overview on this one side of really some of the most important takeaways. You're more than welcome to field anything in the chat that we can get to now or later in Q&A. But the most important thing that we recommend, especially for this level of meeting, but for any meeting that you're having, is getting out of the practice of putting anything in terms of the meeting ID on social media or any public website. We really don't encourage that anymore. That's the easiest way that trolls have been able to find out how to crash the Zoom meetings, to do the Zoom bombing, or to really join and interrupt any kind of video conference. So if you do have any need to share that with your chapter, we recommend using internal communication means. So through all of the contacts you have with your roster, using that CCL community email, your group tool, just really keeping it very focused on that membership and not a public affair is a critical consideration. If you create an event in your group, that's only visible for people that are logged in with their own community password and handle too. So that's another great safe area. We do recommend whatever platform you're using that you're also using the most recently installed version. So make sure that you've updated it, especially if you are going to be one of the hosts or the co-hosts, so that you've got all the right features and all the right updates installed. We do want you to, ahead of time with that practice run through, practice the art of how to claim host if you're going to be the main host, how to assign or delegate other hosts with their responsibilities, whether they're the chat monitor, the one that's monitoring a waiting room. If you want to have that set up, that was another feature Larry walked through, how to help unmute people or to be that tech support if people are trying to engage more. And then lastly, you also want to make sure that certain settings within your platform, you know, for example, with Zoom, you want to make sure that your setting that allows other people to share screens is disabled. You want to know how to practice removing people in case you do have a bad actor show up and really have that kind of waiting room established. Another great recommendation that's worked for a lot of people, even for their lobby meetings, was setting up that group chat that they had, whether it's through their phones or GChat, kind of any of the other online sites, even Slack, GroupMe, you name it. But that way you can chat with each other outside of the discussion going on in Zoom if you need tech support. So you're grabbing people together. What are you going to talk about, right? Well, it's totally up to you. That's a beautiful thing about CCL empowering all of us to figure out what's right for our member. But there are some recommendations that Amy and the rest of the liaison team have, and especially this time thinking through what might be relevant or most important topics to tailor to your own members' interests, and that's really essential. You know your member, you know what would bring them in or fire them most up to share about what they've been working on. Really being able to spotlight their passions, I think, is key. But obviously, anything connected to climate, energy, conservation, you name it, environmental topics in general are going to be key. Bipartisanship in Congress can be a topic, especially for purple districts that are competitive this fall, and they might not be being asked a lot, especially if they're in a district that is going to be hotly competitive. Certainly working, addressing systemic issues of structural racism, especially with all the social injustice that we're seeing right now. Certainly focusing on COVID, certainly focusing on how we can keep working with that office right now and highlighting the important work they're doing. You name it, there's so many different options out there that you can kind of tie into environmental topics. It's really going to be up to you and your team to figure out what's going to be relevant for you. And the only other two things that I wanted to throw out there is outside of the actual topic list, laying the groundwork for your December lobby meeting and really kind of establishing that is another great thing to think long-term on. But maybe this isn't really a lobby strategic goal. Maybe this is really just a get to know you. Actually, in the next story, we're going to hear a little bit more about that as well. And this is really an area for them to talk about other areas outside of just carbon pricing policy. And then lastly, if your member is retiring, which we know there's a good handful of members that are doing, there's certainly a lot of other great questions that you can ask. And these are all listed in the speaker notes, the slides. You know, there's some advice that we've had in prior sessions when we're wrapping up towards the end for some great questions or giving reasons to still meet. Obviously asking for their support, continuing to highlight what key influencers in the district they recommend, just continuing to demonstrate that constituents are paying attention to what their member of Congress is saying, and then that member of Congress may now be in a position to feel more free to show their support, to really kind of see this as a window into seeing what legacy they might want to leave on the energy and environment topic, any other ongoing advice they have for moving forward on climate in the next session, checking with their staff plans. Are they planning on doing anything, with a future office? Are they staying on the Hill? What questions do the staff even still have about the legislation like the Energy Innovation Act? Those are all key. So I would just highlight that there's many areas that you can explore. All right, so in addition to what we've just talked about for themes and suggested topics, Our DC team has actually also provided some examples of questions that could be used if a member of Congress attends your CCL meeting. So here is a list of examples for Republican offices. You could frame it around the leadership of House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy's January 16th party-wide meeting that was on climate and ask how that's played out within the party, especially as the pandemic has temporarily reshaped American life. I think this key question of do you believe it's important for Republicans to provide more leadership on climate policy is a key way of phrasing and drawing out more. So we appreciate that recommendation from our legislative team in DC. They also recommend highlighting that CCL has advocated for several climate-related bipartisan bills at our recent lobby day, the Reclaim Act, which has since passed the House, the Growing Climate Solutions Act, the USED Act, the Climate Safe Fisheries Act, and of course the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. All of these are bipartisan, and really asking the office, do you have any thoughts or plan to support any of these bills? And how are you working to follow up to protect the environment? Lastly, they also recommend for Republican offices just really centering on our work with groups to advance our priorities. CCL obviously expands the tent working with environmental groups, local businesses, faith leaders, anything else relevant you find in your own district or community. And they recommend really framing that by asking, who are organizations that you enjoy working with? And who do you think would be important to passing the kinds of innovation and market-based policies that Republicans can get behind? Now, on the Democratic side, some of these are similar, and a couple of these are slightly different for the focus on the DC side recommendations. They recommend also asking about that shared priority for organizations that they recommend working with that would help to get to be important to passing the kinds of policies that we can pass with ambitious climate policy. They also recommend just really thinking through making this connection. President Trump has shown that a dedicated executive branch can do severe damage to regulatory approaches to reducing emissions. How do you think we should create durable solutions that can survive successive administrations? And another way of framing a discussion too is just really trying to draw out more thoughts on where bipartisanship is working, especially in our increasingly polarized time. Pitching it to the congressperson, for us it's important that climate be a bridge between parties rather than a wedge. We know it's hard to see examples of bipartisanship in today's politics. Where have you seen that active though? Where have you seen it work well? And what were the important factors that enabled that bipartisanship that we might try to recreate? Great questions that you might want to consider adding as well. All right, so let's listen to Terry, and then I literally just have a couple of final slides of comparison before we get to our final story tonight from Alexa, a little bit more from Naperville.
As liaisons, we're always advised to think about what we can do to help the office. And I've always found that a really, really difficult thing to think about because I can't really think of any way we could help the office. Like, we're always asking for their support, but I don't know what, and we can give information, but I don't know what else we can give. And so I, you know, like putting these things together, I thought I need to talk to people. And I've got some people, so maybe he'd be interested in talking to 15 or 20 people. Because I didn't think that we were going to try to talk to him or try to talk him into anything or get anything out of him at the meeting. I just thought this might be a good relationship building tool to give him an audience for a short time. I initially invited him for 10 minutes because I didn't want it to be a big time commitment on his part. And I said, anytime, I gave a time window, which was most of our meeting time. And I figured we would just work around, you know, whatever was convenient for him. So it turns out it worked out well because he chose to basically drop in near the end of the meeting. And he talked for 10 minutes and then he just seemed like he wanted to keep going. He was very, you know, friendly and seemed to appreciate the opportunity. And he stayed about 20 minutes on the meeting when he had only agreed for for 10. So I think it was valuable. Seemed like it was something that he found valuable. So for groups that are thinking of doing this, I would say that, send some questions ahead of time, but you could also have additional questions ready in case the MLC seems like they want to interact. And you might want to assign, a certain number of people to be able to answer those questions. One small hitch that we had was with taking a picture of the meeting, because I forgot to get people's permission ahead of time. I got the permission of the MOC that it was okay to share a picture on social media. So a little more attention to taking a picture that you could share on social media. That's what I'd do if I were doing it again. It did make our meeting, our regular meeting that we had before you dropped in was sort of chaotic because the time was very short. So just plan for that in some way. Don't expect to get a full agenda done or else add some time. I sent information to the office ahead of time that we were going to do it on Zoom and asked if that was okay. They said that was perfectly fine. They didn't appear to be concerned about that. I did designate a couple of co-hosts just in case we had people Zoom bombing. I didn't put the link on social media or anything. It was just through email. So only CCL members, saw the invitation. Turns out we did not have any problems with security. Our MLC actually didn't really address the questions that we gave him. He wanted to talk about his work on COVID, actually. And that's what he talked about for most of the time, which was okay, because, the purpose of the invitation was to relationship building and to give him something, to give him some people to talk to when he's in campaign mode. So that worked out fine. And he didn't do any overt campaigning. There was no problem with that. We had people who don't usually come to the meeting show up. The volunteers really do like opportunities to interact with their MOC. So it was good for our members as well. I thought it was overall, it was just really successful. And I would, recommend it to other groups, and we might do it again sometime.
All right. So there we go. It's highlighting again the benefits of being able to really leverage the power of a joint CCL meeting. Thank you again, Terry, for your time and leadership in Illinois. And what I'd like to do is just close tonight with a little comparison, since I think really the whole benefit of thinking about these joint CCL meetings is that they expand the banner, they broaden the tent, they invite more people into that experience, that catch the democracy bug of having a live interaction with their elected official. And so what we've got is a quick comparison slide that is highlighting what's different than our traditional lobby meetings, and then what's similar. And really just kind of thinking through how you can leverage those strategic differences for your own benefit with your chapter, because this training is kind of a hybrid of both lobbying lever, but also chapter development. So obviously what's different is that you can have as many people, preferably as many as possible, attend from your local group, as well as the larger district. So the collaboration is key, bringing in as many opportunities to kind of invite people, especially that may have been fence sitters for a while, to engage with the new opportunity. That's a huge, huge plus. The challenge though that comes with that is that not everyone is gonna have equal participation as you plan this. And so you do really wanna be strategic about how you can leverage a subset of your, your tenants, your main all-star volunteers, to be those attendees that have specific roles, whether it's the security roles that we just reviewed, whether it's the question asking roles, however you really want to empower and especially maybe even bring in some more individuals. I know the last speaker we'll have, Alexa, talks about especially using this opportunity to empower young adults and youth that are in your chapter that maybe haven't had a chance to take on a role yet. That's a really strategic area to think through. And that's similar to kind of having that subset of assigned roles ahead of time. Different goal. Obviously, with this specific focus, a joint CCL meeting is showing the strength that you have in exercising your grassroots power. How many people can you generate? How much people power can you move in showing up and really engage the topic and highlight the importance of environmental policy priorities in the district? And also just to think through, again, I know we highlighted this before with Gene's great question, the topic isn't necessarily one that you have to have be only on the Energy Innovation Act. With a joint CCL meeting, this can be something outside of that that just builds the trust and builds your kind of connection and awareness of the humanity of your member, of their other policy priorities that you show up and actively listen about. As you heard Terry share, sometimes you give them 10 minutes and they're going to talk for 20 minutes about whatever they want to share anyway. So give them that space and be able to highlight kind of that you are here as a grassroots nonprofit, really trying to build political will, but also build that relationship. And on the other side of what is similar, what's kind of, identical to a lobby meeting, we're grounding these in the same core values of respect, appreciation, and admiration for their public service, if nothing else, as being a member of Congress. We do want to think through ahead of time with practicing and especially screening out at least a lot of the questions that we want to ask in advance so you can practice that and make sure that you're staying on script. And the other thing you want to stay on script is just listen. Especially with so many people showing up to these meetings, it often is going to be hard as the moderator to not have it feel more like a dialogue. That's welcome as part of it, but we do really want to give them a soapbox for a while and really have them stand into that space and feel listened to. That's really the whole goal of really what any of these events might be for them, whether it's with the CCL chapter or any of their other kind of events on the trail right now. The last two areas, obviously, continuing to strategically think how to advance the relationship, that's going to be key, and build on that, and then also just have a chance to celebrate afterwards. So with this, I do see that there's a couple of other discussions going on in the chat. I definitely also will make sure to connect to you, Sean. It looks like you've already found her profile. But let's close tonight with our last interview here ahead of time, again, with California's liaison coordinator. And the liaison for California 45, the wonderful Alexa Foster, and have a chance to hear her wisdom distilled into a 4-minute interview as well.
I'm Alexa Foster, and I am the liaison for the Orange County Central Chapter. And then I'm also the state coordinator for California for liaisons, which means that I just lend assistance as I can to the other liaisons in the state. I will say that it was a very energizing activity for us. We spent a long time setting that meeting up. We realized that we could use PowerPoint and present information to her about CCL in a way that we might not be able to do in a normal meeting, partly because we had more time. We had, I think, over a half an hour, and and she was not as familiar with CCL as she might have been because we hadn't met with her face-to-face before, and there had been some staff changes. And we had gotten all of our members to suggest questions, and so we sorted through the questions and picked the questions that we thought were the most representative of our group and of our mission, and then we assigned questions to people, and we had pictures of members talk about what the chapter does. And so we really tried to make it a situation where the membership was involved and that it was interactive, but that it wasn't so interactive that it was confusing. And so we knew that it would be a matter of maybe 5 questions being answered at the most. I think we prepared 7. And I think it was maybe more like 5. And so we had people who were set up to ask questions. And within those questions were also our asks. And so we started off with, I think, some questions that we just, some things we just really wanted to know about how things were working and her assessment of what's happening in D.C. And then we had our asks. And so we just worked those into the questions, and she was great. She had a lot of suggestions for us. I have to say she is a very clever person, and I think we left with at least as many chores as we tried to give her. You know, I think that it was also a good use of her time. You know, I think as all of our members of Congress get closer to their own campaigns, they probably are more interested in doing things with larger audiences. And so it felt like it was not, you know, she is so busy. It didn't feel like it was really wasting her time or anything like that. It felt like, you know, she really was willing to show up and, you know, with her full attention and energy. And I think that for our group, it was just like, okay, now we're really part of the team. And I think everybody was encouraged. And then we all stayed on and just kind of debriefed afterwards. And I it was great because I feel like everybody was part of the, you know, we were all part of the thinking process. You know, we're kind of a big thought cloud and processing it. And what did we all hear and what seemed important? And then we came up with a list of things that we as a chapter wanted to follow through on. And I think it felt good because it really was a chapter activity. Often there's a feeling of only some people get to meet with the member of Congress, because that's frankly true. And so we really enjoyed that this was not an exclusive activity. And of course, everybody does have something of value to bring to it. And I think it was just, it was just really a big morale booster for us.
Here's to that. I think that Alexa absolutely nails it with highlighting that, again, this is a way to expand that experience and not have it be exclusive, but to really catch everyone else that may have the chance or missed the chance to lobby in the past. And that morale boost, I think, is really critical. And we also have come full story because Larry, our first interview, was referencing the meeting that Alexa set up. So now we are all inspired in a circular fashion of uplift. All right. Well, have a wonderful night, everyone. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, everybody. Stay well.
Brett. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.